Welcome back to another episode of Nerd Tweet and a Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Nerdpool Prime. Thank you so much for joining us today for another episode. Now, I initially was going to do a breakdown last week of Moon Knight, but I wanted to let it give me a time to simmer. So what I did was I watched episodes 1 and 2 over and over and over again. And what I found is that I really am not really in love with the show. I'll get into some spoiler territory a little bit later, so we can talk about that. I'll give you a spoiler warning before we actually do it. But I find myself watching it, and not that I don't like it. I am enjoying it, and I am specifically enjoying how good cinematically it is. The way they jump back and forth from the different personas, the way that and Oscar Isaac, as much as I've talked about how I wish it was a Jewish actor, I will say this. Probably the reason why they cast Oscar Isaac is because how amazing he is. He is so adept, I'm drawing a blank on how to say this word, apparently. He's so skilled at being able to portray different people in the same role. Like, everyone we've seen of him, whether he's Mr. Knight with the extra confidence, whether he's Stephen Grant or Mark Spector or Moon Knight even, it's all the same person, but he's able to distinguish them for you on his body language, his facial expressions, and not just the way he talks. So that right there is something that needs to be pointed out. He's just been absolutely fantastic. And I do like Moon Knight, the character, like how they had him running from across the rooftops and jumping. I love the way that looks. It's very Moon Knight for me, but I don't like the suit. I said it from that first leaked image that looked that ended up being real. He looks like a mummy, and the way he summons the suit, it gives off a very mummy-esque symbiote type of suit here. And I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan. I know a lot of people are very happy with the suit. I still don't like it. And I didn't like it initially. And then I've given it time to grow on me, and I still don't like it. It's just not at all what Moon Knight's costume is supposed to be. It's jumped into the realm of a magical artifact, or have some type of magic or god ability or something. Because, you know, in the comics, it was adamantium, then it was a couple other different material, but it was always something else. It was something that was made. And this is definitely not that. But again, you know, you talk about how different you make things for the cinema versus comics, and sometimes the comic book costumes don't translate. I totally get that. But for me, it could have been done very easily like Black Panther. Have it from an amulet or something, instead of him just calling upon it and just coming out of nowhere. It doesn't. And again, it could be a magical item. That's fine. But it's not just coming out of him. Now, is it possible that we haven't seen it and there is, like, he's got something on his belt or he's got a necklace or something, but it just, it doesn't do it for me. It looks really cool, don't get me wrong, but it doesn't, it just doesn't fit with what I feel the character is. And while Moon Knight deals in supernatural and stuff like that, really when it boils down to it, he is just a person that is enhanced by a god. He doesn't have godlike powers. He doesn't have, like, it's all about his ability to withstand pain and punishment and keep going and just using his skills and abilities to do what he needs to get done as the Fist of Vengeance. And that's not what I'm seeing here. It's like I said, it's coming across as far more supernatural, and I'm not sure how much I like it. And for me, it's a big misstep. I'm not sure how I feel about the direction of it. Granted, it's only been two episodes, and Michael Roman from Everything Always, he has seen the first four episodes and says it's amazing. I keep coming back to this point. From a filmmaking standpoint, I will 100% say it's absolutely fantastic. From acting, the editing, the CGI, everything is done very well. So I don't want to take that away from it because I don't like the costume design. Or because I don't like the casting of a non-Jewish actor as Moon Knight. And I went into detail as to why that's such a big thing in my last episode. But it's just, I don't know. I'm not boycotting. I'm not saying stop watching it. I'm not stopping watching it. I get excited to watch it every week. Which I'm not saying it. And again, I want to make it very abundantly clear. I'm not saying it's bad. I just don't. It's not what I was hoping for. And that's upsetting. But that doesn't. That could just be me. My unrealistic high hopes. So that's all I have for the summation of that. I'm going to do a little bit of a spoiler review type deal in a second, so we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with some more Moon Knight. Stay tuned. Welcome back. So I just want to touch back on the suit. I obviously, during the break, I looked it up. It was initially Kevlar, the suit, as well as it was then adamantium, and then was upgraded to carbonadium because it was as strong as adamantium, but more flexible. He did have a glider cloak as well, which was similar to what Batman uses when he jumps off a building. He just straightens out his arms and becomes like a glider. And judging from what I've seen within the episodes and the sneak peek trailers, I feel like it. Like I said, it's gonna be very magical, and I don't know how I feel about that. But that being said, I want to talk a little bit about spoilers. In case you haven't seen the first two episodes of Moon Knight, you're going to want to back out now, because I will spoil some things for you probably. All right, so in the second episode, first, there's a theory going around that Mark and Steven are obviously not the only two personas in this Moon Knight character. The other is Jake, who is a taxi driver. And he's probably one who asked out that girl in the first episode. Just throw that in there. I didn't come up with that theory. I heard it and I agree. So I just wanted to let you guys know about that. Now, in episode two, we got to see Layla, obviously, Mark Spector's wife. They've obviously had adventures looking for the Scarab for some reason. They want to get to Amit's tomb or wherever they're trying to get to with the Scarab. But why? Now, for me, I feel like they may know something we don't. In the comics, there's a few times where Amit teams up with Khonshu to trick Mark. They actually put him in the insane asylum, and there actually is a trailer that has him in the insane asylum. So what if Harrow is not the Avatar, but someone who's trying to take Amit's power? And Moon Knight is being used as a pawn by Amit and Khonshu to free her. And I think that the true avatar of Amit is his wife. That's where I'm going with this. I feel like his wife doesn't even know. Layla doesn't know that she is the avatar. And she's just on this quest to get the Scarab and get her. Or maybe not necessarily that she's the avatar yet. She's the destined avatar. And Khonshu is using Moon Knight to bring her back. And to let Layla be. And that's why he's got his eye on her. That's why he doesn't want to lose his Moon Knight, because, and that's why he's threatening to use her, because he already has plans to use her for something else. So that's my little hot take on that, because it just, something doesn't feel right. Like, she said that they were searching for the Scarab. Why? Why does Khonshu want to find the Scarab? If the goal is to stop her from being resurrected, then wouldn't you want the Scarab to hide it? And it seemed like they were trying to use it to find the tomb. So, I mean, I could be misreading that. That may have been the initial goal. And then because Harrow has it, now they're going to the tomb. And another reason why I don't think Harrow is is actually the Avatar, because the Avatar would know where the tomb is. The Avatar wouldn't need the Scarab because they'd be connected to the god. I don't think that's the case. I think he's just trying to use her power. And also, you see it again, he never judged that person that gave him the Scarab at the end of the second episode. Just automatically just sucked their energy, and that was it. So, for me, I think Harrow is definitely not what he's portraying, obviously, to the point where I think he may actually be the Sun King, the avatar of the god Ra. That's just my take on it. To the point where I actually went and bought, right before I recorded this, I actually bought the first appearance of Sun King. Because I just got this weird feeling, almost like the feeling I had with at the end of when I predicted Loki. And speaking of Loki, we also have another theory that I've heard, which I thought of initially, and I mentioned actually on my podcast when I did the predictions, because I thought it would be possible. I didn't think they would actually do it based off of the quotes from the creators of the show, that it was kind of like its own thing. While it's set in the Marvel Universe, it wasn't really, it was focused on telling that story and not connecting to everything else. A theory that's going around, which again, like I said, I talked about last episode, because of the comics, the reason why I made the prediction, I did it before the series even started, was because my last episode was 2 weeks ago before the show started. So my last episode was me talking about this. I thought that it would be cool to see different versions of Moon Knight. There is a Moon Knight annual. I think it's Moon Knight annual number one, if I'm not mistaken. But it's a tale of Kang going throughout time, always having to face a Moon Knight. There's like a pirate Moon Knight, a patriot Moon Knight. There was like a whole bunch of different Moon Knights. And they were fighting Kang, trying to stop him from getting a scepter, which so happens to have a scarab on it. I'm just going to throw that out there. And the theory is that the first avatar of Amut was Kang, or more specifically, Rama Tut. Now, as you all well know, if you listen to my podcast, I am hoping that that is true, because I invested heavy. The first big grail that I invested in was a Fantastic Four number 19 first appearance of Rama Tut. First appearance of Kang, a little out of my price range. So I got the next best thing, because technically in the canon timeline, it's technically his first appearance. When you talk about release, because the way Kang works is that he's, you know, all throughout time. So, you know, you make many arguments of who the first appearance is, but in talk about release dates, Rama Tut supersedes Kang, because it was then later retconned that Rama Tut was Kang, or a version of Kang. So technically, Fantastic Four 19 is Rama Tut's first appearance, is Kang the Conqueror's first appearance in Marvel Comics. So I'm hoping that there is a connection to Rama Tut, and they show him in the show or mention him or something, because that means the book that I invested heavily in will be worth a lot more, and that's always good for me. So I'm definitely biased, but I don't think so. I definitely feel like it's a very easy dot to connect, and I would love it, but don't know if they're going to do it. Because like I said, the creators said numerous times that they weren't worried or focused on the connecting universe. They were only concerned about telling their story. So while it's very much set in the Marvel universe, it's from what they're saying, at least, it's not really like full of connected tissue. Now, I will also point out that I think it's a little interesting that every time I finish watching a Moon Knight, it automatically puts Eternals up next. Now, again, in the comics, Moon Knight is one of those beings that is kind of always around. It's kind of like the Ghost Rider, how there's numerous people who are the Spirit of Vengeance, or in this case, the Spirit of Khonshu. Or the Fist of Khonshu, however you want to say it. So really, it could very well happen where there's just infinite number of Moon Knights and we see them battling Kang. How cool would it be if in Ant-Man 3, Quantumanium, Kang's going through time and fights a whole bunch of different people across time, like, there, Doctor Strange isn't the first Sorcerer Supreme, so a different version of Sorcerer Supreme. Maybe even Agamotto. Or like, perfect example here, having a random Moon Knight in ancient times fighting Rama Tut, you know, something like that. Like, it would just be so cool to see all the different versions of the heroes that they could throw out there in a time war with Kang. Just saying, how cool would that be? So again, I really do hope that, you know, Kang does show up as Rama Tut, but I just don't see it happening. Because again, like I said, that's based off what the creators have said. Now, and I want to touch back on Moon Knight, and the suit. I do, like I said, I loved how he was running across the rooftops, like parkouring across things. Like, it was fluid. The cape looked amazing. I give mad props to the editing team and the special effects team for doing that, because obviously that cape isn't real. So that's all CGI, and it looks fantastic. And Mr. Knight was great too. I find it interesting the choice to make Mr. Knight a comedic character and almost like Steven's version of Moon Knight. In the comics, Mr. Knight is another persona that comes up. And that's usually the suit that he wore when he was just patrolling the streets. Congratulations, ladies. You now have a new, something to simp over. Let's call it like it is. Mr. Knight with them sleeves rolled up. Chef's kiss. I mean, I wish I looked that good in a white suit. Let's call it like it is. And I thought it was interesting and a nice little touch that when he did the superhero landing, he fell over. Almost like, I did the superhero landing. Wait, what am I doing? And fell over. That was nice. And Moon Knight, obviously the ceremonial armor Moon Knight. I said, as he's running across the rooftops and planning his attack, and I think it was probably one of the more, I don't want to say violent or gruesome, but definitely not Disney fight scenes, because it was quick, and he stabbed him in the neck with one of his crescent moon daggers, and then impaled him on a freaking spike. And I think it's interesting that they chose it to be an Anubis warrior that just turned into, or jackal, sorry, that turned into sand, and so they didn't have to do any blood, so it didn't have to be like MA or R or whatever you want to call it. It's very smart. I like that. That was a very good choice to do. So new episode will be out Wednesday. I will hopefully have a breakdown, like a real breakdown, like an in-depth breakdown. I got a feeling this third episode is going to have a lot for me to dig my teeth into. So, also wanted to say thank you all for anyone who's listening. It has been a great journey. I'm going to keep going as long as I'm permitted to do this. I want to send a very special shout out to a few people. I've been doing a lot of things lately, you know, between writing my comic and branching out and really trying to make a go of being a super nerd for a living. Obviously, I didn't quit my job. I'm still working 40 hours a week. I'm just increasingly adding more things to do. I have a TikTok now, Nerdtween. I'm selling on, at this point, both Whatnot as well as a new company called Drip. I feel like Drip has a lot of potential. I am the first and only comic seller on there at this time. They haven't really even announced that they're doing comics, but I have had talks with the CEO and founder of the company, and I think they have a lot of great things in store. Across almost all the, I'm trying to make it as uniform as possible. IG, IG, Drip, Whatnot, TikTok. It's just Nerdtween, Nerdtoine. You know, like Tatooine from Star Wars, but nerd. And it would be greatly appreciated if I see you at the shows. If you are hearing this and it brings you into the show, please let me know that you were directed from my YouTube channel. I'll be sure to throw a little special thank you in with any purchase that you make. And definitely give me a follow, like, share, subscribe. I appreciate all the love and support from people like NK's Comics, Stuffy Boys Comics, MF Stuntman, Bravo Collections, Click Comics, Firewife Comics, Sims Guy, Wolverine's Comic Shop. You guys have been really what kept me going a lot of different times. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate everything you've done. And it's not lost on me. I want to make sure you understand that. Also, I feel like I want to just end on a little note, a little housekeeping, if you will. Next month, I'm going to be going to MegaCon. I'll have VIP. I'll finally get to meet Javon Jordan, Illusuminati. I'm hoping to be able to interview Nakayama, Donnie Cates. Stegman's going to be there. There's some big names. All the Hobbits. Jane, Silent Bob, Kevin Smith. I'm so, oh my God, Kevin Smith is an icon for me and someone I've always, like, just loved, and I can't wait to meet him. James Tynion. I mean, there's so many great people that I'm going to get to meet. So I do hope that anyone who's been with me this far gets to enjoy the ride that's coming, because it's time. It's like 8 Mile. If something's going to happen, it needs to happen now. And guess what? It's about to happen. Until next time, this is Nerdpool Prime, signing off.